message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We're always privileged to have you there when we're here. And we hope that you're making a habit of fellowshipping with us and studying with us in this time of study together. We're going to look at Romans chapter number 11 again today. And we're going to look at it today for the last time. And before we leave this chapter, there's just no real way to study Romans 11 without spending at least one time together looking at the issue found in Romans chapter 11, verse number 13. So we're going to look at that together in this time together here. Romans chapter 11, verse number 13, where the Apostle Paul says, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office." Now that passage of Scripture is a passage that can help you dispensationally. That's one of the most powerful verses you'll ever learn. Because Paul is saying, "I speak to you Gentiles." And as you sit here and watch this program today, you're a Gentile, and I'm a Gentile. And the word Gentile means the nations. We are one of the nations of the earth. And Paul said, "I speak to you Gentiles inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office." Jesus Christ gave to the Apostle Paul the office, the position of being the Gentiles' apostle. Now you think about something for a minute. Are you a Gentile? The answer is yes, you are. And by the way, I was visiting with an archbishop of the Bulgarian Orthodox Church recently, and his name is Bishop Joseph, but he asked that we call him BJ, kind of Americanized his name. And we were talking about this verse. And I asked him that question. I said, "Are you a Gentile?" And he said, "Well, no." And I said, "Well," that was interesting, "who are you?" He said, "Well, I'm a Christian." Well, that's not what we're talking about here. He had the idea that, you're born a Christian. Most of the people watching this program probably think that you were born a Christian. I was visiting with a fellow one time, and he was telling me about going out knocking on doors in this certain neighborhood, and a lady came to the door, and he asked her if she was a Christian, and she said yes, and he said, "Well, when did you become a Christian? And how long have you been a Christian?" And she said, "Well, I've always been a Christian." And this brother said, "Well, bless God, lady, that's too long." And it is. You're not born a Christian. You're born lost. You're born in Adam. You're born outside of Christ. You're born outside of the family of God. And until you have the experience of salvation, just like Jesus Christ took our sins and paid for them in the experience of the cross, you and I have to be placed in the family of God through the experience that the Bible calls salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It isn't an automatic kind of a thing. You can pass down hymn books and church buildings and heritage and culture and education, but you can't pass down membership in the family of God to the next generation. It is a personal choice that a person makes to become a member of the family of God. And so being a Christian, living in a so-called Christian nation and that kind of stuff is one thing. It's like being an American. People say, "Well, I'm an American." Well, you're not a Christian like you're an American. You become a Christian by becoming a child of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so what the bishop was saying, I understood. He said, "Well, you know, it's a Christian nation and a Christian country, and we're not heathen," is what he meant. But in Paul's day, when he said, "I'm the apostle of the Gentiles," he wasn't talking about Gentiles as opposed to the heathen. He was talking about just any of the nations of the earth. In fact, in the Bible, there are two kinds of people there in time past. There's the nation Israel, and then there are the Gentiles. Now, if you come with me to Ephesians chapter number 2, You'll recall, and I draw this chart on the board for you constantly as we study together, because it's critically important that you understand how God deals with men in the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 11, Paul says, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision, but that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands." In other words, there's a time in the Bible that the Bible calls time past. And in time past, there is a division between that God makes among humanity. One group of people are called the circumcision. That's the nation Israel. Then there's another group that are called the uncircumcision. The uncircumcision, that's the Gentiles. Now, in order to be a Gentile, you'd have to be someone who's not circumcised. That is the nation Israel, not a part of the covenant that God gave to Abraham back in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 and Genesis 17, the covenant of circumcision that makes that nation a special nation. God chose out of the Gentile nations one nation to be his representative nation in the earth. And in time past, God recognized Jew and Gentile. A Gentile was all of the nations of the earth that did not make up the nation Israel. He says about Israel, he says that they are not to be reckoned among the nations. They're not to be counted down here. They are separate. And so we have a shorthand when we talk about the Bible. We say that the Gentiles are everybody but the nation Israel. But now, Ephesians 2 goes on and says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometime were far off," this distinction is there, "are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now, that distinction is done away with. And in the "but now" section over here, there is a oneness, there is a unity among God's people in what's called the body of Christ. The body of Christ is where Jews and Gentiles are made one in Christ, in the body of Christ, in a new spiritual entity where there is neither Jew or Gentile status. God doesn't deal with you on the basis of being a Jew or a Gentile as such, but He deals with us in Christ in the dispensation of the grace of God. Now that's where we are today. That's the "but now." Then there are the ages to come where He will bring these two programs to fulfillment. Two distinct programs. That's why this program is called the prophetic program, prophecy. What God has made known, preached about, and talked about since the foundation of the world. That's why this program is called the mystery, something that was not preached about, talked about, and made known since the foundation of the world. In fact, it wasn't revealed at all until Jesus Christ revealed it from heaven to the Apostle Paul, and made Paul the apostle of the Gentiles, and sent him out here and write some books, Romans through Philemon in here, that have to do with this program right here. Now, when Paul over here says he's apostle of the Gentiles, somebody says, "Well, is that excluding Israel?" No, because when you come from time past to but now, something changed. Romans chapter 11, verse number 11, Paul says, "I say then, have they stumbled," that is Israel, "has Israel stumbled that they should fall?" Well, they stumbled at the cross. When Jesus Christ showed up, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they stumbled. He was that stumbling stone, that rock of offense. And we've seen in our last studies in Romans 10 and 11 that the reason that Israel failed to recognize her Messiah, John the Baptist, God the Father sent John the Baptist to the nation Israel to call them to repentance. The reason that Israel didn't respond to the call of God the Father is that they weren't walking by faith. Faith would have heard God's word and would have responded. They were walking by religion. They were walking by tradition. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God and going about to establish their own righteousness, and thus they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. They had ceremonies and they had rules and regulations and commandments and traditions, and they had a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They're like a lot of religious folks today. They've got great zeal and great admirable quest, but not according to knowledge. They don't have the truth of God's Word. Because they weren't walking by faith, when God sent them John, they didn't hear Him. When the Word of God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, showed up, the living Word, they didn't hear Him. They didn't receive Him. They rejected Him. They crucified Him. God raises Him from the dead. He goes into heaven, sends the Holy Spirit back over here on the day of Pentecost, and when the Holy Spirit came, and in the little flock of believers headed up by Peter and the 12 apostles, and they minister here in the early Acts period in here, the nation Israel, having rejected God the Father and God the Son, now reject God the Holy Spirit. He says, have they stumbled that they should fall? They stumble here, but they don't fall. But rather through their fall, then they do fall out over here. Look at here. Jesus says, you speak a word against the Son of Man, it'll be forgiven you. But you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, it won't be forgiven you, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Referring to the time when he comes back over here and sets up his kingdom on the earth and is ruling and reigning out here over the Gentiles, saves the nation Israel from the wrath of God that's poured out against the world in the tribulation. No salvation for them here or over there if they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if you reject God the Father, and you reject God the Son, and you reject God the Holy Spirit, who's left to extend mercy to you? The whole Godhead would have been rejected. And so when Jesus hung on the cross and he cried, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, God the Father did that, and they didn't fall. But subsequent to that, in the blaspheming of the Holy Spirit through the resistance that they gave to the little flock's testimony, when Stephen stood there in Acts chapter 7 and said, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, as your fathers did, so do you. You do always resist the Holy Spirit, and so forth. He identifies them as uncircumcised in heart and ears. God judged them, and through the fall of Israel, not Israel's rise, but through her fall, salvation has come to the Gentiles. In the kingdom, Israel rises to glory. But now they've fallen, and God has set them aside. What God does is he takes them out of this position of favor and places them down here into the position of disfavor. We saw in chapter 9, he reshapes them from a vessel of honor into a vessel of dishonor. From a vessel of privilege into a vessel of no privilege. He takes that position away from them, sets them down here, and now God deals with all men without any distinction between them. Paul says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek today. Now that's not true back here, but in here, in the dispensation of grace, where God's forming the body of Christ, the doctrine laid down in these books, Romans through Philemon, that's the issue. You go back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there is a distinction. You go over in Hebrews to Revelation, there is a distinction. You get in the book of Acts, and you'll see the transition from there being one to there not being one in the move from Peter's ministry to Paul's ministry. So when Paul said, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office, what he's talking about is he's speaking to us today. You and I are placed in a position, no matter what your national and ethnic heritage, the way God deals with you as you're just one of the nations of the earth, no special privilege to start with. You're just one of the people in the earth. And he has given you a spokesman. He has sent someone to speak to you. Are you a Gentile? Yes, you are. Who is the apostle of the Gentiles? Well, Romans 11:13 says, Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles. Then let me ask you something. Who is your apostle? That's right. Paul is. It's not hard to figure that out. Now, the Apostle Paul says, I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I'm the Apostle of the Gentiles, that's the office that Jesus Christ gave him. He didn't take that office to himself. Christ gave him the office, and he magnifies in the passage, he magnifies his office, not himself, not exalting himself, not making something out of himself. Just like Moses in time past back there would say, the things that I have commanded you, you have to do them, and if you don't do them, then God's going to not let Israel in the land. Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1 heals the leper, and he says, go and show thyself to the priest and offer the things that Moses commanded. Well, it was really God commanding, but Moses was the lawgiver to Israel. He was the channel. He was the one to whom God had given authority in Israel to be his spokesman. So it is today. In the dispensation of grace, the one that God has sent to be his spokesman for us today is the Apostle Paul. Not the Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. Peter is the apostle of the circumcision, but God has set the circumcision aside. Sent Paul out to the nations as the apostle of the nations. Come with me to Romans chapter 15. And what I want to do is just go through some verses with you to emphasize this great fact. Because it is rebellion against Paul's apostleship and the authority that God has placed in the message and the ministry that Jesus Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. It is rebellion against that issue of Paul's authority that causes the confusion and the impotence that the church finds itself in today. Someone was just telling me the other day, we were discussing some of these things, said, you know, it's interesting that when someone takes verses out of, say, Hebrews through Revelation, say James chapter 2, for example, and compares that with Paul's epistles, and they're different, that they always compromise Paul's epistles and not the other. Or maybe they'll take Romans 7 and compare it with Matthew 7, and it'll always be Paul's epistles that are compromised. And the reason for that is that that's just the way things go. The truth is what is always going to fall in the streets before the eyes of them who aren't committed to truth. Here's the doctrine. Here's where we are. And here is the authority that God has for today in His Word. And I want you just to hear with me and read with me some verses of Scripture that just declare that. This is easy to see, easy to understand if you let God's Word be the teacher. Romans chapter number 15, verse number 15. Romans 15, 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The way salvation is going to go to the Gentiles and the way the Gentiles are going to be made acceptable to God is through the ministry that Jesus Christ committed to the Apostle Paul. You see, in time past, Israel had the favored position. They were the people who were nearer to God, and a Gentile down here, if he wanted to get to God, had to go up through Israel to get to him. He had to go to Jerusalem, to the temple over there, and to come to God through the nation Israel. And the God of the Bible, the God that created heaven and earth, was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Belonged to them. And if you and I as members of other nations wanted to have relationships with Him, the true God, the true and living God, we had to go through the nation Israel. But that's changed. And God has set the nation Israel aside. And now the offering up of the Gentiles are acceptable. And that's why Paul's ministry is in the Bible. He's a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Jesus Christ from heaven's glory. He's the risen, ascended Christ, ascended up, and from heaven sends this message down to Paul and through him to us that Gentiles can be accepted today because God has changed the program and is doing something brand new, something introduced through the Apostle Paul. Come with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for example, the Apostle Paul would say, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now notice what he says. Be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. There are only two people in your New Testament scriptures that ever tell you to follow them. One is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. While He was on the earth, He told the disciples that He would preach to. He said, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men." And He told them to follow Him. Paul comes along and he says, "Follow Me as I follow Christ." If you ought to follow Jesus Christ today, in the dispensation of grace, Paul understood you would have to follow him according to the ministry he committed to the Apostle Paul and through Paul to us. I say that again. If you want to follow Jesus Christ today, you'll follow him according to the ministry that he gives to us through the Apostle Paul. Your pattern for following Christ is Romans through Philemon. Come with me to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse number 12. 1 Timothy 1 verse, well, begin in verse number 11. Speaking about sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Before Paul got saved, he was a part of the blaspheming nation. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a part of the blasphemy against the Spirit of God that was being conducted by God's favored people. Now you think about that. He told them, if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, there won't be any forgiveness for you here or in the ages to come. How is it then that Paul could have obtained mercy? Only, my friend, because God changed the program and added a secret program, an unprophesied, unexpected program in here. And he says in verse 14, and the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the age of grace in here. For this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And when Paul says he was the chief of sinners, he doesn't mean he was the most wicked prolificate that ever lived. He doesn't mean he got drunk more than anybody else, or committed adultery more than anybody else, or embezzled more than anybody else, or lied more than anybody else. That isn't what he means. And the way I know that is in Philippians chapter 3, when he talked about his unsaved life, he said, as touching the law, I was blameless. He had an outwardly righteous life. What he's talking about when he says he's the chief of sinners is just what a chief is. You know what an Indian chief is. He's the head guy. He's the leader of the tribe. And that's what Paul's talking about here. He's the leader of the tribe of people that are going to be a part of this. He's the first guy in the body of Christ, leading as the example and the pattern for the rest of us. Verse 16. 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause, that he might be the chief of sinners. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. That in me first, now notice that, in Paul first, that means he's the first person this happened to, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him the life everlasting. The Apostle Paul is the first person to be saved in a line of people, in a group of people who are going to be saved just like he was saved. Pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If you're saved today, and you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, and heaven's your home, and your sins are forgiven, and you possess everlasting life this moment, if you're saved today and right before God, justified and righteous before God, you are saved according to the pattern that Jesus Christ gave you. Jesus Christ is our Savior, and Paul is our pattern. He's the pattern of long-suffering to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting, because he's the first. There isn't any question or doubt about the fact that Paul is the first person in the church, the body of Christ, and is the pattern for those who follow after. He said, I speak to you Gentiles, and as much as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. 1 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 4, speaking of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all men. See that? Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Jesus Christ gave himself a ransom for all men to be testified in due time. What Jesus Christ accomplished at Calvary was not declared and testified to until the due time testifier showed up. And in order to bear testimony to what God accomplished for you and me at Calvary, Jesus Christ saved Paul, Saul made him Paul, and sent him out as the herald and the proclaimer of that grace. And Paul says, but now, here we are. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. A new way for God's righteousness to be declared without the law. The law system back here has been done away with. And now we're going to live under grace. And this now time revelation of how God's righteousness is going to be revealed is committed to us and revealed to us through the Apostle Paul. He's the first. In me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. You know what you learn? You learn that no matter who you are, what you are, God Almighty believes the work of His Son at Calvary is enough to pay for all of your sins and give you eternal life. Your sins are going to be paid for one way or the other. Either you're going to pay for them or you're going to trust what God did for you at Calvary when He paid for you for your sins and the death of His Son. That's the message you learn from Paul. And it's the gospel that Paul preached, how that Christ died for our sins that saves you. It's Paul that said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you've never done that, I trust, challenge you to do it today and know for sure that you have eternal life. Join us again next time. Till then, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, The Apostle of the Gentiles. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 321. That's tape offer number 321. The Message of Grace is a ministry at Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you're still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. I'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. The address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.